안녕하세요. 처음으로 우리 탐구 생활을 세 번째 찾아주시는 해외 게스트 요한할입니다. 이 요한할이 작가님하고 우리 채널은 좀 인연이 길어요. 제가 처음으로 외국 작가와 줌 인터뷰를 해야겠다라고 생각을 한 것 자체가 뉴욕에 가서 도둑맞은 집중력이라는 책을 접하고 너무 이 작가의 시각이 우리나라에 지금 중요한 얘기여가지고 꼭 우리 궁금해 분들한테 요한할이의 목소리를 전달하고 싶다라고 생각을 했던 것이 저희 해외 작가 인터뷰 시리즈의 기원이 됐던 분이고요. 또 이 책뿐 아니라 얼마 전에 이제 우리나라에서 화제가 됐던 위고비 또는 오잼픽이라고 불리는 다이어트 약에 대한 매직필이라는 책도 두 번째 초대석에서 이 얘기를 한번 해주셨고요. 오늘은 줌이 아니라 실제로 요한할이 작가님이 한국에 오셔서 직접 얼굴을 맞대고 또 하나의 이야기를 해보려고 하는데 바로 중독에 대한 이야기입니다. 요한할이 작가님이 세계적으로 유명해진 이유 중에 하나가 테드토크에서 미국에서 그 당시 진통제 남용으로 인한 마약 중독이 심각해지던 시대에 중독이라는 것을 화학물질의 작용으로만 바라봐야 되는 것이 아니라 이 사람들이 인생에서 벗어나고 싶어 할 정도로 인생이 고통스러워지는 사회적 분위기에 대해서도 생각해봐야 된다라는 충격적인 발언을 해서 유명해졌기 때문에 인생이 고통스럽기 때문에 어딘가로 도망가고 싶고 자기 신경계를 자꾸 물질로 자극하는 것은 꼭 우리가 법적으로 규정한 마약을 통해서만이 아닐 수 있다는 얘기를 했습니다. 예를 들어서 카페인, 알코올 이런 것도 합법적인 마약일 뿐이고 또 매운 음식, 시끄러운 음악, 인터넷 이런 것들을 집착적으로 사용하는 것도 마약은 아니지만 중독 증상에 포함이 되기 때문에 그런 면으로 보면은 우리나라에도 굉장히 심각한 여러 가지 중독 문제가 있고 중독 문제가 있는 나라에서는 왜 사람들이 뭔가에 중독될 정도로 인생에서 벗어나고 싶어 하는지부터 조명해야 된다라는 메시지로 오늘 인터뷰 열어보겠습니다.
Korea has been relatively drug-free for, you know, past few decades at least. And a lot of Korean people think of drug problem as a Western problem, like not our problem, right? And when Korean people think about drug problem, the most iconic image that got a lot of Korean people thinking that you guys have a serious drug problem out in the West was this video of a street called the Kensington Street in, I believe, Philadelphia. You know, it's called the American Zombie Street. That's what we understand about drugs. It's a serious problem, and our response is let's keep that out of Korea, and let's not go to places where those people are. And that's been the typical response.
So it's really important to understand, alcohol is a drug, right? Actually, if you look at the rankings, the Lancet, the main British medical journal, does rankings of the harms caused by drugs, alcohol is by far the most harmful drug per capita of the people who use it. So I would say the idea that there's this thing called drugs that doesn't include alcohol is wrong. I would also say you have big addiction problems to be speaking to people with, as you know very well, gambling, online addictions, video games. These are addictions, right? The people who are addicted to these things are just as addicted as people who are addicted to alcohol or cannabis or other things. But of course, it's true that there are big addiction problems all over the world. And it's really important to understand that addiction problems are signs of a deeper underlying problem. This will sound very strange at first. It sounded strange to me. But addiction is an attempt to solve a problem. Hmm. People engage in compulsive behaviors, whether it's gambling all the time, drinking huge amounts of alcohol, taking heroin, which would be some of the people that you're talking about in Philadelphia. These are attempts by that individual to solve a problem. They are not good solutions, obviously.
Mm-hmm. In Korea, usually when people say drugs, we think about substances that organized criminals peddle that usually end in some kind of ain, right? Cocaine, heroin, morphine, right? And when you say that gaming addiction is also a drug or alcohol is also a drug, I think we need to start by defining how you define drugs and how you came to that definition of drugs.
Yeah, so a drug is a psychoactive substance. It's something you ingest that alters your mental state, right? So I don't say that video games are not a drug, but they are an addiction. Mm-hmm. But alcohol absolutely is a drug. It's a psychoactive substance that you ingest in order to get into a different mental state. As I said that, this has got caffeine in it, hasn't it?
Right.
Right, caffeine is a drug, right? It's a very mild drug, as it happens. But caffeine is a drug, right? We take it in order to be slightly more alert. Mm-hmm. I drank a massive cup of coffee just before coming mm-hmm. here. There's relative harms to different psychoactive substances.
Is a sugar kind of a drug?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, disastrous one.
Huge amount of sugar in this.
Yeah.
And caffeine. So getting a hit right now.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And sugar, it's not a problem for you, but a lot of people, their sugar consumption makes them obese or overweight, which has terrible effects. I mean, there's a genuine debate in Mexico where I spent a lot of time. Mexico has two Coke problems. Mm-hmm. It has Coca-Cola, which causes a huge amount of obesity. They have the highest level of obesity in the world. And they've got a cocaine problem. Mm-hmm. And there's a genuine debate about which is worse, right? Because if in terms of deaths, the Coca-Cola is killing more people, which is not to undermine that the cocaine is also killing people, because it is. So yeah, we need to understand psychoactive substances. Sometimes people say drugs and alcohol. That's like saying oranges and fruit, right? Like oranges are a fruit, alcohol is a drug.
Mm-hmm. I think Korean people's favorite drug, the way that you define it, is capsaicin. Korean people eat more and more spicy, and capsaicin, I mean, I read about capsaicin, and it's definitely a psychoactive substance, right?
Oh my God. The first night I was here, I went out for dinner with a Korean. When I ate it, I actually thought I had swallowed napalm. I cried, I screamed. I was like, how can people eat this?
What did you eat?
I'm actually so traumatized, I can't even think about what it was, but it was something that no human being should ever consume.
Right.
Like, it was insanely spicy. So,
그러니까 요한아리는 이 중독에 대해서 지금까지 우리가 알고 있던 이야기 중에 잘못된 부분이 많다라고 어디서 느꼈는지를 얘기를 합니다. 우리가 흔히 중독에 대해서 얘기를 할 때 이렇게 얘기하죠. 원래 인간이 선천적으로 저항하지 못한 어떤 물질이나 액티비티가 있다. 그래서 예를 들어서 도박이라든지 자극적인 게임 같은 거는 워낙 이 자극 자체가 사람을 끌어들이는 마력이 있기 때문에 여기 한번 발을 들이면은 못 나간다. 그래서 아예 건드리는 걸 차단하면 문제가 해결될 것이다. 마약 같은 경우에도 한번 마약을 해서 그 쾌감을 알게 되면은 이 사람은 절대로 마약에서 벗어나지 못한다라는 것이 한 1970년대, 80년대까지 대부분의 사람들이 믿는 내러티브였대요. 근데 요한아리는 이런 생각을 했다고 합니다. 만약에 어떤 자극적인 물질에 한번 접촉을 하면 그 사람이 그냥 중독자가 되는 것이 사실이라면 한 가지 이해 안 되는 게 있었대요. 예를 들어서 우리가 운동을 하다 다리를 심하게 다쳐가지고 병원에 가서 수술을 받게 되면은 워낙 아프기 때문에 모르핀을 투여를 한단 말이에요. 모르핀은 중독성이 굉장히 강한 마약이고 1차 대전, 2차 대전의 군인들이 군 병원에서 수술을 받을 때 모르핀 중독이 되는 경우가 굉장히 많았습니다. 하지만 군 병원에선 그런 현상이 일어나는데 일반적인 민간인들이 병원에서 수술을 받고 모르핀 투여를 한다 그래서 사회에 나왔는데 모르핀 중독자가 되지는 않아요. 하지만 어떤 사람이 인생의 막다른 길에 다다라서 길거리에서 불법으로 모르핀을 사가지고 한번 투여를 하면 그 사람은 중독자가 될 가능성이 굉장히 높다는 거죠. 왜 똑같이 중독성이 있는 물질을 두 사람한테 투여를 했는데 한 사람은 중독자가 되고 한 사람은 그렇지 않았을까? 이거를 이해해야만 마약 중독뿐 아니라 전 세계적으로 퍼지고 있는 게임, 알코올, 도박 중독에 대해서도 총체적으로 이해할 수 있다고 생각해서 이 세계를 탐구해 보기로 했다고 합니다.
Let's talk about heroin addiction because that was close to me, right? If you had said to me, Johan, what causes heroin addiction? Mm-hmm. I would have looked at you like you're an idiot. And I would have said, well...
heroin.
Yeah, the clue's in the name, right? Yeah. Obviously, heroin causes heroin addiction. Mm. So what most people think is you start using a drug and you need more and more of it for physical, chemical reasons. Mm. So we think, for example, we're sitting here in the middle of Seoul. If we stepped out into the street now... if we kidnapped 20 people off the streets of Seoul and every day for a month we injected them with heroin 3 times a day, we think at the end of that month, all those people would be addicted to heroin for a very simple reason. There's chemical hooks in the heroin that their bodies would start to crave as they were exposed to it. Mm. And by the end of that month, they'd all have this tremendous physical hunger for the drug, right? That's what we believe. That's what I believed. If I step out into the street in Britain and I get hit by a truck... and I break my hip, I'll be taken to hospital and I'll be given a lot of a drug called diamorphine. Diamorphine is heroin, right? It's really powerful heroin. People in British hospitals are given this heroin for quite long periods of time. If what we think about addiction is right, what should be happening to all these grandmas in British hospitals? They should be leaving and being addicted, right? They should be trying to score the drugs on the street. This has been studied very carefully. It never happens, right? And I remember when I learned that, just thinking, well, that can't be right. That doesn't make sense. How could you have a situation, you've got someone in an alleyway with an addiction problem who, you know, is injecting heroin, a weaker form of heroin, they do become addicted, and you've got someone, you know, in a hospital bed above them actually using a stronger form of heroin and they don't become addicted. How could that be? That makes no sense. And I only began to understand it when I went to Vancouver and interviewed an incredible man named Professor Bruce Alexander, who's really transformed how we think about addiction all over the world. So Professor Alexander explained to me, this story that we have in our heads that dominates the way Koreans talk about addiction, the way most people in the world talk about addiction, comes from a series of experiments that were done earlier in the 20th century. You take a rat, you put it in a cage, and you give it two water bottles. One is just water, the other is water laced with either heroin or cocaine. If you do this, the rat will try both water bottles because it doesn't know what's in them. It will always prefer the drugged water. It will take more and more of it. And within a couple of weeks, it dies from an overdose. So there you go, right? That's our story. But in the 70s, Professor Alexander came along and looked at these experiments. And he said, well, wait a minute. They put the rat alone in an empty cage. It's got nothing that makes life worth living for rats. All it's got is the drugs. What would happen if we did this differently? So he built a cage that he called Rat Park, which is basically like heaven for rats. They've got loads of friends, they've got loads of cheese, they've got loads of coloured balls, they can have loads of sex. Everything that makes life worth living is there in Rat Park. And they've got both the water bottles, the normal water and the drug water. This is the fascinating thing. They try both. In Rat Park, they don't like the drug water. They hardly ever use it. None of them use it compulsively. None of them overdose. So you go from very heavy compulsive use and overdose, when they don't have the things that make life worth living, to no compulsive use and overdose when they do have the things that make life worth living. When I learned this, I realized the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. The core of addiction, whether it's to video games or heroin or everything in between, alcohol, is not wanting to be present in your life because your life is too painful a place to be, right? Mm-hmm. It's an attempt to not be present with despair. Everyone watching knows they have natural physical needs. Obviously, you need food, you need water, you need shelter, you need clean air. If I took those things away from you, you'd be in trouble really quickly. Mm-hmm. But there's equally strong evidence all human beings have natural psychological needs. You need to feel you belong. You need to feel your life has meaning. You need to feel that you have freedom. You need to feel that people see you and value you. But we have been getting less and less good at meeting people's deep underlying psychological needs for a very long time now. And that is manifesting in lots of forms of despair. Some of it's suicide. Obviously, Korea is very high on that. Some of it's depression and some of it manifests as addiction. It comes back to why addiction is an attempt to solve a problem. You've got a problem. You're in despair. Your needs are not met. Mm-hmm. Now, the best way to solve that is to change the environment so your needs are met, right? Obviously. That's quite difficult. For a lot of people, the best solution you get, you're trapped in this difficult situation, a job you hate, an environment you hate, a life that isn't meeting your needs. Well, okay, you feel you can't deal with that, but you can get drunk every night. Mm-hmm. You can play video games all day. You can gamble all day. You can start taking heroin, right? So those people on that street in Philadelphia that people look at and go, well, who are these crazy people and what happened to them? Those people in those videos, they have been in car crashes of the soul. They have been deprived of their needs. Many of them have been through horrific trauma, which is another factor I'm sure we'll talk about. And they are trying to solve that problem. They are in such profound pain and distress, and no one has offered to help them. And the way they can take away that pain and distress for a very brief time is to use a drug, right? And if you use those drugs, by the way, your pain and distress do go away for a short period. Of course, in the long term, it's a disaster. It makes your problems worse. But it's an attempt to solve a problem. Now, there are better solutions, but we have to understand why this is happening. And it helps us to understand why it's happening here in Korea, right? This is a society that is quite poor, I would argue, at meeting people's psychological needs. And lots of people are trying to solve that in ways that make more sense when you understand it through this framework, I think.
기본적으로 우리가 중독에 빠지는 것은 인간이 누려야 될 기본적인 욕구를 누리지 못했을 때 그 결핍에서 벗어나고자 하는 몸부림이다 라는 건데 그럼 우리 사회도 굉장히 중독이 만연해 있는 사회인데 우리나라 사회가 인간의 기본적 욕구 중에서 빼앗는 게 뭐냐라고 했을 때 요한 하리가 지금 한국에 와가지고 다음 책에 혹시 참고할 게 없을까 해서 많은 사람들과 대화를 나누고 있는데 그 중에 요한 하리가 초등학생 나이의 학생과 나눴던 대화가 저는 한국 사람으로서 굉장히 충격적이었습니다.
When I was speaking to a lot of kids here, it's kind of heartbreaking to speak to these. I spoke to particularly some 12 and 13 year old girls. And I said to them, you know, my niece is now 21, but when she was their age, she would finish school at 3 p.m. She would maybe do half an hour of homework and then she just played with her friends. And they were like, wow. And I said, how do you feel when you hear that? And they said, well, I feel really jealous. And I said, what would you do if you gained that time? And I thought they'd say, we would play. They said, oh, we would go to sleep. We're really tired. And I thought that is not a healthy culture where 12-year-olds are so exhausted that the prospect of being given freedom means they just want to go to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. There's something desperately sad about that. And I would argue that is a form of trauma. You're deprived of pretty basic needs. The need to play for children is not a luxury. It's a very, very basic need.
Yeah. Sleep is more of a fundamental need. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's really amazing figures on this in the US and Britain. I would be amazed if it's not as bad, if not worse, in Korea. The decline in how much children sleep is almost unbelievable. In Britain, the average child sleeps 85 minutes less per night than they did in 1945. That's a remarkable... I interviewed a lot of sleep experts for Stolen Focus. Mm-hmm. A guy called Dr. Charles Seisler, who's at Harvard Medical School, the leading sleep expert in the world, said to me, even if nothing else in the whole world had changed except that we sleep so much less, that alone would cause a huge attention and mental health crisis, because sleep is really important for your brain to be able to function properly.
Mm-hmm. 우리가 어떤 사람이 중독적인 성향을 보이거나 많은 우울이나 불안 증세 같은 걸 보이면 현재 문제 때문에 그 사람이 고통받고 있을 것이다 라고 생각하는 경향이 많은 것 같아요. 특히 우리나라 같은 경우에는 어린 시절에 즐겁게 사는 거에 그렇게 중점을 많이 두는 사회는 아니죠. 열심히 공부를 해서 어른이 돼서 잘 살자. 이렇게 사회 구조를 만들어 놨는데 이 요하나리가 얘기해 준 여러 데이터 중에 저한테 가장 충격적인 데이터는 뭐였냐면 음식에 중독이 돼가지고 비만이 되는 사람 등등의 과거를 조사해 보면은 그 사람들이 어렸을 때 어떻게 살았는지에 따라서 미래에 그런 문제가 생길 가능성이 두 배, 세 배 늘어나는 게 아니라 20배, 30배 늘어난다는 얘기였습니다.
Can I tell you a story about a scientist who discovered something really important about childhood trauma? Mm-hmm. So in 1980 in San Diego, California, there was a doctor called Vincent Felitti, who I got to know later. And he was contacted by one of the big not-for-profit medical providers in California, Kaiser Permanente. And they said to him, we need your help. We've got a problem. We don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's the problem? The problem was that obesity was hugely rising. And nothing they did worked. They said to him, can we give you a load of money to just do blue skies research and figure out what would actually reduce obesity? Mm-hmm. He's like, sure. Mm-hmm. So he started to work with 200 severely obese people, people who weighed more than 400 pounds. So, and he had an idea that sounds and actually is quite stupid. He said to them, what would happen if you just stopped eating, completely stopped eating, mm-hmm. and we gave you like vitamin C injections. So with a load of medical support, they tried it. And incredibly, at first, it worked. So there was a woman who I'm going to call Susan, that's not her real name, who was in the program, literally lost like way more than half of her body weight. Mm-hmm. And they were like, wow, we saved her life. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then one day something happened that no one expected. Susan cracked. She went to KFC or whatever it was. She started eating and eating. And before long, she gained a huge amount of weight back. Dr. Felitti called her in and he said, Susan, what happened? And he said, well, tell me about the day that you cracked. Did anything in particular happen that day that didn't happen on any other day? It turned out something had happened that day that had never happened to Susan before. Mm-hmm. She was in a bar and a man hit on her. Not in a nasty way, in a nice way. He started chatting her up. And she felt really freaked out and went and started eating. This is when Dr. Felitti asked her, when did you start to gain your weight? In her case, it was when she was 12. He said, well, did anything happen when you were 12 that didn't happen when you were 11, didn't happen when you were 14? Anything in particular happened that year? And Susan looked down and she said, well, that was when my grandfather started to rape me.
Wow.
Dr. Felitti interviewed everyone in the program. He discovered that more than 60% of them had made their extreme weight gain in the aftermath of being sexually abused.
Whoa.
Which seemed really weird to him. He's like, why would that be? Susan explained it to him. She said, overweight is overlooked, and that's what I need to be. He realized if you gain a lot of weight, you're less likely to be sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. Right? This thing that seemed so irrational, obviously is bad for your health, was having a profoundly protective effect for these women and some of the men. Right? Mm. This was a small study. It's 200 people. That's such a big result that Dr. Felitti was like, I need to do more research into this. Every single person who came for healthcare in San Diego for a whole year, you were given a questionnaire. And the first part said, did any of these 10 bad things happen to you when you were a child? Mm-hmm. Things like neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, all sorts of bad things. And the second part asked, have you had any of these problems as an adult? There were things like obesity, addiction, depression, suicide attempts. Mm-hmm. And at first, when they added up the figures, they were like, this can't be right. Go and do it again. Because the figures seem so crazy. For every category of childhood trauma you experienced, you were 2 to 4 times more likely to have an addiction problem, to have attempted suicide. If you had 6 categories of childhood trauma, you were 3,100% more likely to have attempted suicide and 4,600% more likely to have an addiction problem. It was just the effect of childhood trauma on these later problems was enormous. The study is called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. There's some people in Korea who've done work on this as well. So childhood trauma can really, really harm you for the rest of your life.
저는 이제 요한 하리한테 한국 사람으로서 이런 질문을 하고 싶었어요. 어쨌든 우리나라가 여러 가지 정신적 트라우마를 가지고 있고 자살률도 세계에서 가장 높고 여러 가지 문제를 가지고 있는 나라지만 사실 마약 중독률은 서구 사회에 비해서 굉장히 낮습니다. 제가 본 한 통계에 의하면 영국 사람들한테 지난 1년 동안에 한 번이라도 불법 약물을 사용한 적이 있습니까? 라고 물어보면은 8% 정도가 지난 1년에 한 번 정도는 불법 약물을 사용한 정도가 있다라고 대답을 했는데 우리나라는 평생 한 번이라도로 질문을 바꿔야 간신히 2% 정도의 대답이 나온다고 해요. 근데 이제 요한 하리가 책에서 주장하는 거는 이제 서구 모델을 바탕으로 해서 이제 포르투갈 같은 나라들이 약물에 대한 금기를 완전히 없애고 약물 중독이 된 사람들이 어떤 인생 속에 고통을 느끼고 있는지를 파악해서 치유를 해주는 방향으로 갔더니 오히려 약물 중독이 계속 늘다가 반으로 줄었다. 이게 더 효과 있는 방식이다라고 얘기를 했지만 제가 느끼기에는 우리나라처럼 약은 절대로 손대면 안 되는 거야라는 사회적 금기가 있어야만 서양에 비해서 낮은 퍼센트를 계속 유지할 수 있다라고 믿는다라고 얘기를 했습니다.
So we talked about different addictions that are prevalent in Korea, but drugs are in themselves, the narcotics, I mean, are beginning to become a serious problem in Korea as well. There has been more than 200% increase in drug-related arrests in Korea. So we were at about 10,000 back in 2014. In 2024, that number was up to 20,000. So that's pretty steep increase. I think one of the bulwark we have against us becoming like the Kensington Street in the US, it's a social stigma. So Korea, this idea is that if you're an upstanding Korean person, you will never approach the drug because we have built this social standard. And if we become more lax about criminalizing drugs, we are going to end up looking like the U.S. Do you think we can keep the social taboo and at the same time have a rehabilitatory system like Portugal? Is that compatible? What do you think we can do?
You won't end up like the U.S. because you provide housing for people. The reason why those people are on that street in Philadelphia is because they're chronically homeless. It should be a source of great pride to people in Korea. Most of those people became addicted after they became homeless, mm-hmm. right? In fact, a friend of mine called Rob Banghart in Las Vegas, who lived in the drainage tunnels beneath Las Vegas for 3 years, says you can't do homelessness sober. If you or me had to live on the streets and we couldn't get off, get back into housing, we would get drunk all the time. We would use drugs all the time because it's unbearable. The humiliation is unbearable. The fear is unbearable. So what you're talking about when you look at that nightmare scenario, you're talking about a system where people become homeless and then become addicted because they're humiliated and broken. Well, you don't allow poor people to become humiliated and broken in Korea. You're a healthier and better society than the United States. So you wouldn't have that street in Philadelphia. Addiction is caused by deep underlying pain. What does not work is increasing that pain. In fact, that makes the problem worse. What works are approaches based on love and compassion and practical help.
물론 요한 하리는 유럽이나 미국을 위주로 리서치를 하고 그쪽 사람들을 위해서 쓴 거기 때문에 우리나라의 현실이나 정서에 안 맞는 얘기도 이 책에 꽤 있습니다. 하지만 제가 오늘 요한 하리와 이야기하면서 느끼게 된 거는 인간의 놀라운 생존 본능이었어요. 인간은 자기가 너무 고통스럽고 심리적으로 불행한 상태에 있어도 결국 살 방법을 찾는구나. 근데 하필이면 그 살 방법이 자극적인 음식이나 알코올, 게임 이런 거라면 그거라도 선택해서도 죽지 않고 살아나가려고 하는구나. 근데 우리가 이런 절망적인 사람들한테 절망사로 이어질 수 있는 자극이 아닌 더 긍정적인 자극을 만들어줄 수 있다면 얼마나 그 절망이 오히려 활력이 돼서 우리한테 돌아올 수 있을까라는 생각을 하게 되는 대화였습니다. 오늘은 드디어 우리가 줌으로만 만났던 요한 하리 작가를 직접 만나서 이 요한 하리 작가의 가정사에서부터 온 중독에 대한 여러 가지 이야기를 한번 풀어봤고요. 우리도 생활 속에 모든 사람이 조금씩의 중독은 가지고 있기 때문에 어떤 이유 때문에 내가 중독이라는 것으로 도망치고 있는지 삶을 눈을 똑바로 뜨고 직면하는 방편은 뭐가 있을지에 대해서 생각해보는 좋은 시간이었으면 합니다. 오늘 조승현의 탐구생활은 여기서 마무리하고요. 다음번에는 더 재밌는 문화 역사 이야기로 찾아뵙겠습니다. 감사합니다. 안녕히 계십시오.